Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the erosion of our religious liberties and the freedom of speech at Christmas time. This is the reason I've chosen to simply talk about the issue today under the title, Christmas is a Time to Go Tell. Under the guise of banning Christmas, under the guise of banning nativity scenes, under the guise of banning Christmas cards and Christmas carols, the left, the socialist, Marxist, Democrats, the leftists, those that are wanting to undermine and destroy our nation, those that are anti-Christ, anti-Christian, atheist groups, are wanting to destroy our First Amendment rights. Ladies and gentlemen, without the religious liberties and freedom of speech in our First Amendment, we would lose the opportunity. It would be foreclosed upon us of witnessing and soul winning, the printing, the publication of gospel messages, and the proclaiming of Jesus Christ from our pulpits. As we said a moment ago, we're watching the cities across America, city after city and state after state, that seemingly increasing their bow and their bending to the political correctness. And this further erodes, ladies and gentlemen, that happens, it further erodes our liberties and the freedom of speech. As Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we should continue to stand. We should not bow. We ought not to bend to the secularist, socialist society today that says we're going to ban God. We're going to ban the Bible. We'll ban believers from the public arena in society. And that's what they're attempting to do, is literally foreclose the opportunity for Christians to be in the public view, the public light, in the public arena, as I call it, where we have the opportunity to bound about our own ideas and thoughts in relationship to who Christ is and the freedom to speak and proclaim the name of Jesus. Here's an article that says, Nativity scene controversy may bring live display to Georgetown. Over 150 Christians protested on Thursday Rehoboth Beach's decision to prohibit nativity scene display at the city's on city property. After Georgetown's recent ban on unattended displays of the circle unleashed public outcry, a local foundation announced plans for an attended display, a live nativity scene every morning until Christmas Eve. They said they didn't want the nativity scene because it was unattended. So they're saying, okay, we'll resolve that problem. We'll put on a live nativity scene, and we'll do so until Christmas Eve. The article further says, the Good Old Boy Foundation posted its plan on Facebook, calling the cast members, costumes, carolers, and volunteers to hand out hot chocolate from 6 to 8 p.m. each night. We sincerely appreciate the approval to present a community-led live nativity scene on the Georgetown Circle beginning sometime next week, the Facebook ad post said. As of Thursday morning, the post had garnered more than 600 shares and hundreds of reactions. Georgetown officials could not be immediately reached Thursday to confirm its approval of the live event. The article further says, with the town's permission, Georgetown Wesleyan Church had displayed the nativity scene at the circle. For several years, the creche was fixture in the Georgetown holiday festivities and its decorations. And the article is about a five-page article going on to talk about those players that are against it, those that are for it, and how it's being carried out. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we need to do, is take that stand. Take the stand that we're going to honor God first. You know, in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, the scripture is very, very clear where Peter said we ought to obey God rather than man. I'm not talking about treason. I'm not talking about government in America. But I am saying that as Christians, we are citizens, and as citizens, we have rights that are codified in our Bill of Rights. We need to stand for them. I believe we have a call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comments, please.
Yes, this is Brother Davis today. How are you, Dr. Youngblood?
Great. God bless you, Brother Davis. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. I just had a comment concerning how many people are against anything about Christmas. And I'm wondering why, Dr. Youngblood, if they're so against it, when the holiday comes around, instead of taking off from work, why don't they just go back to work and let the rest of us take off and enjoy our Savior's holiday?
You know, that's a good observation,
just
brother.
A thought. Yes, sir. So I'm thinking about each one of them that I happen to come across, just tell them, if you don't believe in Christ, if you don't believe in Christmas, Just go back to work and let the rest of us take off and enjoy our Savior's holiday.
Amen. You keep on with that, brother. That's good. God bless you for that.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You so
thank
much.
You.
Thank you for calling. Ladies and gentlemen, that's pretty good insight, pretty good observation. Those who say, I don't believe in Christmas and I don't believe in singing Christmas carols and having the Christmas decorations, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I'd say that's good. If you don't believe that, by the way, it's a federal holiday. They believe in taking that time off, believe in taking that holiday off, but they don't believe in what the holiday stands for, what the Christmas is about. And so I'm in agreement with my brother that just called. We need to take that stand, be verbal, visible, valued in our stand, vigilant in what we say and do, and not bowing and bending to the political correctness in America today. Here's an article, ladies and gentlemen. It says, banning Christmas in the schools. There's much ignorance about the state of the Constitution and the law it applies to the Christmas celebrations in the public schools. To cut through the quick, they are permitted. A Christmas play by the Minden Junior Service League performed at Minden High School in Wester Parish in Louisiana was recently the source of much controversy. Two minutes out of the 35-minute play discussed Jesus, and some objected to that 2 minutes, including the Wester Parish School Board. The superintendent, Johnny Rowland, was sympathetic to those who wanted to play, but insisted that there is a federal court order that clearly spells out that it's what is allowable and what is not. Despite attempts to censor the play, it was performed anyway and was greeted with a standing ovation. Officials in Manchester Elementary School, which is part of the Elkhorn Public Schools in Nebraska, got all ginned up over Christmas and decided to ban display of Santa Claus, Christmas trees, Christmas songs, and colors of red and green. Candy canes were also banned. Thanks to Liberty Council, the decision was reversed and sanity prevailed in the community. Further, it says, what is permissible in at Christmas time in public schools, and it goes with the article. Here's the language of how to operate. The paragraph begins. Official neutrality regarding religious activity. Teachers and administrators, when acting in their capacities, are representative of the state and are prohibited from the Establishment Clause from soliciting or encouraging religious activities and from participating in such activities with the students. Teachers and administrators are also prohibited from discouraging activities because of its religious content and from soliciting or encouraging anti-religious activities. In other words, school officials cannot ban voluntarily student-led religious activities at Christmas time. Students cannot be punished for singing Christmas carols. Students cannot be punished for distributing Christmas cards. Students cannot be punished for wearing red and green. Students cannot be punished for giving Christmas presents, writing Christmas poems, giving Christmas speeches, and paying tribute to Jesus Christ. No federal court has ever ruled that Christmas must be censored in the public schools, end quote. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? So don't you dare let the atheist, the anti-Christian, anti-Christ movement today be allowed to sway you into believing that somehow, some way, that it cannot be. You'd be surprised how many Christians I've talked with that will agree, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I think it should be private. I'm a Christian. I don't believe that anybody ought to talk about it publicly. I'm a Christian, but I don't think we need to push it if it might offend somebody else. Ladies and gentlemen, when I grew up, we had horse shows, but it didn't offend the donkeys in the community. And yet there's that mindset somehow, if you got some donkeys in the community, you ought not to have Christmas. Now, the Bible news is another term for those donkeys. But anyway, that's another story for another time. It is sad commentary today that we have those that will get all bowed up in the back and bristled up at the neck and say that you can't celebrate Christmas. And it's the time of the year that every Christian on the face of the globe must sit up, stand up and realize and recognize that Jesus Christ is born. The Savior has come into the world to save his people from their sins, the scripture says. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not sit in silence. We must stand up. We must fight for our biblical God-given rights and freedoms to be a vocal, visible, valiant witness for Jesus Christ. What better season of the year than Christmas season to tell the world that the Savior is born? What better season to call the name of Jesus? What better season than Christmas to be involved in nativity scenes and Christmas carols and lights and decoration and Christmas trees? All of us should shout out, joy to the world, a Savior is born. Don't be intimidated. Don't be frightened. Don't be in any way have a sense of a second-class citizen, because we're serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and Jesus Christ is his name. Here's an article. Montana High School jeopardizes its federal funding by de-recognizing the Christian clubs. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes maintain a huddle as it calls its students chapters in Montana Bozeman High School for 5 years. Then the taxpayer funding institution de-recognized the club, believing that the Orthodox Christian's belief on sexuality meant it could not be recognized on the same terms as every other school-sponsored club. The Alliance Defending Freedom sent a warning letter for Wednesday on behalf of the club to the Bozeman School District Superintendent, Principal, and Senior Counsel of the School Board Association. These actions are blatant violations of Christian clubs and their rights in the U.S. Constitution and the Equal Access Act, the letter says. Your actions also contradict the four policies that the school district cited to de-recognize the club. One of those policies only allows the district subject religious clubs to the same, the district to subject religious clubs to the same constitutionally accepted restrictions the district imposes on all other Christian clubs. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, even at the schools where Christian clubs are being formed and wanted to be formed, the schools are saying you can't do that because it's Christian. But the law says that if you have one club, you cannot disallow a Christian club in the midst of it. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says the Federal Appeals Court upholds public schools' Christian Christmas spectacular. The legal review reviews are in Christmas Spectacular at Concord High School in Elkhart, Indiana, a winter concert at public school that features a mix of secular and religious elements, did not violate the Establishment Clause, wrote the Federal Appeals Court judge. The Concord Community Schools have not violated the Constitution, concurred another judge. The case involves a high school that has put on its Christmas Spectacular for some 45 years. The Concord High School show for many years was made up of roughly one half secular pieces such as Winter Wonderland, Secret Angel, Santa Claus, and the other half centered around the segment called The Story of Christmas, which concluded with a live nativity scene. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to speak up, stand up, and be heard. If we do not listen, if we allow this, if we allow, and ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's not just this Christmas. This is escalating. I've watched it. I've talked about it. I've discussed it. I've preached against it for many, many, many years. We've seen this for the past 30 years in particular, the past 10 years in specificity, where it is increasing each year. And as we allow this to be done, schools then pull in the horns, superintendents bow and bend to the political correctness, and as a result of it, it's the diminishing of and the reduction of our religious liberties and freedom of speech. And ladies and gentlemen, we have those freedoms, we have those liberties, and we need to exercise them without fear and without apology to anybody in doing so. Here's an article that says public schools allowed to celebrate Christmas, ? It's the holiday season. That means, among other things, that public school programs face all kinds of dilemmas while navigating the rights of students to express their religious beliefs and religious freedoms, and the rights of students to be free religious, of religious coercion and an official endorsement of religion by the officials. Here's just a smattering. And then this article goes on with the Webster Parish School and what's happening there in Louisiana, with one in Michigan and what's taking place there, the battle over the display of wise men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it's endless. It is endless. But it does should not. Listen, this should not intimidate the Christian. We should realize and recognize that God has called us to be verbal, visible witnesses for Jesus Christ. And we ought to do that without fear and without intimidation. Most, ladies and gentlemen, today, most are not aware that the courts have ruled that it is not a violation of the Constitution to have a live nativity scene or to sing Christmas carols or to have Christmas trees at school or to pray or to display Merry Christmas signs or to pass out the Christmas cards. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen, today for President Donald J. Trump. For Christmas today, ladies and gentlemen, we have more activity and more freedom in Christmas at the Christmas season, and people now saying Merry Christmas greater than in the recent history, and it's because of President Trump's stand of saying we're going to put Christmas back in the Christmas season. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the White House is decorated with more Christmas trees this year than any other president's decoration for Christmas, and I applaud our president for doing so. Ladies and gentlemen, there's the question, can students pray in public school? Can teachers say Merry Christmas, what the law allows and what it does not? And it's a very large article, and I'll read the article. Ladies and gentlemen, the end result is, the fact is that the article says, and it reaffirms what I've said over and over and over on this broadcast, that the federal courts have not outlawed Christmas at Christmas time in schools, including the wreaths, including the nativity scenes, including saying Merry Christmas and passing out Christmas cards and singing Christmas carols. That's a fact. Nativity featured this year in half of the capitals. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? The title of this article, Nativity Scenes Featured This Year in Half of the State Capitals. More than half the state capitals have nativity scenes displayed this season, according to the Thomas More Law Center, which has worked with the American Nativity Scenes Project to keep privately funded displays in the public square. We're excited to share our Christmas message with the public as the Constitution allows us to do so, said Rick Jones, coordinator of the Ohio Nativity Scene. More than just an opportunity to share our faith, it is the chance to invite everyone everywhere to seek peace on earth and goodwill to men. The president of the chief counsel of the Thomas More Society said, Christmas message bear secular as well as religious significance as its highlights the hope and the miracles of birth and new life. It goes on. We're committed to our goal of keeping Christ in Christmas across the nation, he said. This Christmas, there will be 26 state capitol manger scenes on display. This organization said lawyers volunteered because of the opposition from atheists and secularists and even Satanists. Quote, atheist groups may mock our message, but we will not be silent, as it is critical and a crucial part that Christians proclaim the gospel message to their fellow citizens. Anti-Christian, anti-Christmas rhetoric, and Satanist expositions merely serve to provide sharp emphasis by means of their sharp and stark contrast with the positive, uplifting, hopeful, and joyful message of for Christians at Christmas time. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a poll recently done. The poll says that 76% say that Christians should celebrate Christmas in the public schools, that Christmas should be celebrated in the public schools. And it is an awesome statistical data that I'll not take time to go through that for us today. But I want us to turn our thoughts. If we are going to be what God would have us to be, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be like the first witnesses of Jesus' birth, the first ones to celebrate Christmas, ladies and gentlemen. For the first Christmas, we find the celebration in Luke's Gospel, the second chapter, beginning at verse 15. The shepherds had been told about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, the shepherd's personal decision is recorded in the 15th verse of Luke's Gospel, the second chapter. And we see, first of all, their anxiousness. They've been told that Yeshua Messiah is born. They've been told that the Savior has come. They've been told that the first Christmas has taken place, that Jesus Christ has been born. And ladies and gentlemen, they didn't sit back in a closet saying that we can't tell anybody we're going to be sequestered. They didn't sit back and say, we're going to be silent. They didn't sit back and say, we're afraid that the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Christian movement will come against us. They didn't sit back and say, we're going to bow and bend and be swayed by the political correctness in our society. They were anxious. They said, let us now go. They're faced with a challenge. They're faced with a decision. They're faced with what should we do. They're faced with the need to respond to the announcement that's been made. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ has come. Jesus Christ is born. And the announcement has been made. He has arrived. He's here on the scene today. What better time? What better opportunity? What greater responsibility for Christians than to go and tell and say to a lost, darkened world, the Savior's born. We sense the urgency in the shepherds and their attitude. No debate, no delay, no question what should we do. We must act, and we must act now is their mindset. And ladies and gentlemen, we see their anxiousness. Let us now go. But I want us to understand, go is an active action word. We cannot sit in silence. We can no longer sit and say that we're going to let the world somehow, some way persuade us what we ought to do. As Christians, we need to answer the call and go tell. In fact, in Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, it says, and said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And here we find that coming to fruition with the shepherds going to tell. We see, ladies and gentlemen, they're willing to find an urgency in the moment. We need to understand we cannot sit privately as a dark and dying society continues to die and go to that place called hell. We must be willing to go. We must be willing to tell. We must be willing to go to the crowds and the masses and to the friends and neighbors and relatives and those that we work with and tell them the good news that the Savior's born. We must be willing to go and tell a lost and darkened world. These men, these shepherds, when they're told about the birth of Jesus, they said, let us now go. So, ladies and gentlemen, that should be the challenge today for us. Let us now go while we still have time, while we still have liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, let us go now while we have liberty and freedom of speech. Let us go now while we have health and opportunity and some who will listen. Let us go now while we still have the freedom to confront evil with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us go now while we still have some laws and moral order left in our society. Let us go now while we still have a vestige of constitutional liberties left. Let us go now, ladies and gentlemen, while we still have a few patriots left in our world today that's willing to stand like our president. Let us go now while we still have a Bible and the freedom to share it with others. Let us go now while we still have churches that are open and religious persecution abated in America. Let us go now while we still have a nation with borders where we can call ourselves a sovereign nation. Let us go now while we still have a nation to be reached and redeemed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us go now while we still have a nation that's not controlled by Islam, the socialist, Marxist, leftist, Democrats. Let us go now while God still has given us this opportunity and freedom, where God still listens and answers our prayers. Let us go now. That was the mindset, ladies and gentlemen. When the news first went out of the Savior's birth, they said, let us go now. Let us now go. And ladies and gentlemen, we see in that 17th verse what they did. We're talking about Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 17 says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Ladies and gentlemen, the first witnesses for Jesus Christ, the shepherds minding their flocks by night, their lives interrupted with the good news of the Savior's birth. And they said, let us now go. And ladies and gentlemen, they made known abroad. Literally, they told everybody everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. They were not concerned about being politically correct. They were not concerned about those that were the naysayers. They were not concerned about those that might bash Christians and Christianity. They were not concerned about those that would say anything in a negative sense. They were not bashful. They were not afraid. They would not they were not fearful that someone's going to run them off if they told them about Jesus. They were not fearful. They simply did not tarry. They simply continued to go and tell that Jesus Christ is born. They told everyone, everywhere. They became the first active witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They practiced personal Christian evangelism in that day, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get back to that in our lives. We need to be challenged afresh and anew that God's called us to be witnesses, not to be silent, not to be sequestered in a closet, not to be intimidated, not to be browbeaten into silence and say nothing about Jesus Christ. Let me urge you this Christmas season, ladies and gentlemen, to shout it out to the world. A Savior's born. Jesus Christ has come. And not be worried about what some atheist, anti-God advocate might say. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, these first witnesses says, let us now go. They did. They made known abroad everything that they had seen, all that they had heard, all that they had been told. What did they see? What did they hear? What were they told? They were told that Jesus Christ is born, that the Savior has come into the world. Their audience who heard them, verse 18 tells us in that 18th verse, and all they that heard it wondered, that as they were amazed at those things which they were told them by the shepherds. The audience, ladies and gentlemen, was the whole wide world. Their then known world, they were told about Jesus Christ. They celebrated Christmas. It was not just jingle bells, ladies and gentlemen. It was joy to the world. A Savior's come. And that ought to be the voice of every Christian today. And they that heard it wondered. They were amazed. They did not fall. It did not fall on deaf ears. Everyone heard the gospel message. Everyone heard that Jesus Christ is born. Now, that didn't mean that everyone that heard received. That didn't mean that everyone that heard believed. But everyone heard it. Don't be frightened and fearful that you might say something about Christ to an anti-Christian, to an anti-God, to one that is an atheist or one that is a non-believer. Simply be willing to stand and go and tell what Jesus Christ has done in his coming. Ladies and gentlemen, what if the shepherds had not witnessed? What if the shepherds had not gone in urgency? What if we do not go? What if we do not go and tell? What would be the end result? Where would we stand if we did not go and tell? And that's the challenge today, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you dare bow. Don't you bend in silence, but stand up and say, Yeshua Messiah, Jesus Christ is born, and Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast today. Looking forward to next time as we meet on the air to face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.